Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Mets lost their first series of the season this weekend, and it was a very entertaining, even though they lost it, eventful series. And there's a lot going on, as there usually is in Mets world, and I thought with some questions, I would turn to Joe DiMeo. He's the co-host of the Mets Pod, a digital series on SNY, and also of Mets Perspectives. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, Lori, how we doing?
I'm doing well, Joe. So I had some questions for you, wanted your perspective, because you always have your finger on the pulse of kind of what's going on with the Mets, major leagues, minor leagues, and all of that. And so one thing I wanted your perspective on was what happened at Citi Field this weekend with the villains. We had Jesse Winker kind of egging on the crowd, but seeming to, kind of be in that love-hate role. And then we had Paul Sewald, who seemed to have a lot of bitterness, apparently, towards the Mets and Mets fans. Let's start with Jesse Winker. Where would you put him? You know, for years, of course, it was Chipper Jones in that role of Met killer, but also who the fans love to hate, and you know, Freddie Freeman. I don't know that he's such a nice guy, never really egged on the fans, but was a Met killer. Where would you put Jesse Winker right now if you're looking across the league at Mets villains?
I don't think he's a Mets villain. I think Jesse Winker's having fun. Like, I look at Winker and I look at Paul Sewald, like you mentioned. That's kind of two different things. It feels like Winker's just having fun with the crowd, and for the most part, it feels like the crowd's having fun with him, but mm-hmm. obviously he's had some big moments against them, the wave, what was it, 2 years ago or whatever, mm-hmm. to the crowd, and then obviously the home run the other night. So he feels like he's just a little more just having fun with everyone, and like he said nice things about Mets fans after the game, said, it's a great fan base. Like he said, he loves the Mets fans. So I think he's having fun with it. Sewald's a bitter guy who's upset, and I mean, I don't entirely get it. I mean, his run with the Mets wasn't particularly good. You know, part of four seasons, he went 1-14, an ERA of 5.5. He kind of warranted the Mets getting rid of him, and he's turned around his career. He's good reliever for the Mariners now, and awesome for him. But it's kind of like, you just seem a little bitter.
Yeah, I use villain, and in a that love hate villain to me is a term of respect, and so I think Winker qualifies for that. It is very good natured, I think, on both sides. And with Sewald, it just felt odd to me. I think he's somebody that Mets fans have not thought that much about, and if anything, it was sort of like, oh, good for you. And then comes in with all this bitterness, and it's like, I don't know. It feels forced. All right, so then something else that has been on my mind with the injury, a couple of injuries, and wanted your perspective there now as we look at the Mets. And one, James McCann, I understand the Mets catchers have not been hitting a ton, but they are good defensively, and I think the pitchers are comfortable throwing to them. We all saw on Saturday, it did seem that, there were some struggles. Certainly Chris Bassett can be a guy that shakes off his catcher, but it did seem like there was some pitchers were having a hard time throwing to Patrick Mazzica. Do the Mets need to, with McCann now having to have surgery, going to be out for, what, 6 weeks or so or more? Do the Mets need to go out? Either is there anybody they could bring up in the minor leagues, or anybody that do you think they need to trade and make a change for a better defensive catcher than Mazeika?
So in the minor leagues, everyone's going to ask about Francisco Alvarez, of course.
Well, that, I'm putting him aside to say he's not ready,
okay.
Right? Do you want to say, tell our Mets fans that the best prospect is not ready, right?
The best prospect is not ready on the defensive side of the ball. He can hit, but, you know, like you said, they need defense behind the plate. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw them maybe scour the waiver wire or some veteran free agency for someone that could go to AAA and be some catching depth, because they definitely could use that. What I think, Mazeika obviously is not known for his glove. He's more of an, not a great offensive player, but he's more of an offensive first catcher if you had to pick a side that he's better at.
Right.
I think one thing to consider is in the shortened spring training this year, Mazeika basically didn't play almost at all. He was kind of almost ushered to minor league camp really quickly because they just needed to build up the rapport with the new pitching staff and McCann, and, you know, keep everyone in line that's actually going to be on the big league roster. So I don't think Mazeika probably ever even caught Chris Bassitt in his life. And then he just showed up and had to do it on Saturday. So, you know, I think with some time, it can be a little bit better, but clearly the defensive side of the ball is where the Mets are going to prioritize their catching, at least for the time being. Like you said, McCann wasn't really hitting, and he's out for 6 weeks. Nito, not really the greatest hitter, but really, really good defensively. So
yep.
I think they're prioritizing that and hopefully getting their offense elsewhere.
Yeah, I just don't think Mazeika is good enough. As Nito's fine, but I think Nito now needs a good defensive backup to be that other catcher. I think they need an upgrade over the next period of weeks. All right, then the other injury, obviously, that just hit the Mets, Tylor Megill going on the injured list, inflammation out, it looks like 15 days or so. What are your thoughts in terms of the plan for replacing Megill? I know it can't be David Peterson right now. They're talking about Trevor Williams. What about even a guy like Thomas Sapucki? You know, any chance you think he could get a shot?
Yeah, I would say for today's game, we're on Monday technically now. For today's game, it seems like it's going to be Trevor Williams. But for the next time through, I would say Sapucki makes a little more sense, because he pitched on Sunday for AAA Syracuse, so his days kind of match up a little more, whereas Peterson would then be going on kind of long rest because he pitched on Friday night. But Peterson, Sapucki, they're both on the 40-man roster, both options. It's just a matter of, do the Mets want to make Peterson wait a couple extra days to line everything back up? But fortunately, on the Megill thing, you know, it seems like it's not a serious deal, just some inflammation. He's obviously on the IL now. And, of course, you had the most reliable source to say that he's going to be okay, and that would be his mom on Twitter.
So, Mama Megill, Julie Megill on Twitter, if you want.
Yeah.
That's where I got my update earlier today as well.
Yeah, she's you're going to trust that over almost anybody, right? So she knows, and by all accounts, it seems like Tylor is going to be okay, but, you know, he's out for a couple weeks, and your plan, you know, to your point, it's Sapucki, David Peterson, those are really the two prime names at this point.
Talking to Joe DiMeo about the Mets, and Joe, obviously, you know, you can't be too critical of what's going on. Mets lose their first series of the season. Here we are in mid-May. They're in first place in the division. But, when you look at the offense, are you concerned that this offense, to get where they want to get, which would obviously, you know, the goal would be, of course, to get to win a World Series, to be that sort of team, do you feel like are they short a power bat?
I would say for sure. Actually, myself and Connor Rogers on the Mets pod that we do for SNY that you mentioned at the top of this segment, we talked about this. And I think for the most part, I really like the offense that the Mets put together kind of zigging while the rest of the league is zagging, because mm-hmm. you see so many teams that base their lineup around the three outcomes: mm-hmm. home run, walk, strikeout, and that's kind of what it is. The Mets are contact approached, on base, kind of a really annoying team to play. Like, you see them, they're rallying back late in games. But like you said, if they have aspirations to be a world champion, they do need to find some more thump in that lineup here in the next 2 months. I mean, it's a little early, obviously, to make trades here in the middle of May. There's not really going to be much moved, but I definitely agree with you that come, you know, maybe late June, early July, we start really talking about the Mets pursuing a power bat, because they're going to need one.
Yeah, and how about the bullpen? From what you've seen of it, pleasant surprise, or still needs more work?
I think you could always use another arm or two. I don't think there's ever a bullpen on a contender that's like, we don't need to add anything to it. But I feel obviously great about what Edwin Diaz is doing. He's someone I've backed even when things were not going so well, and he's clearly figured out pitching in New York, and everything feels like Diaz is in a good spot. Seth Lugo has pitched well of late. You know, he struggled right at the offset of the season, but now he's looking good. Drew Smith has struggled, you know, this past weekend, but he hadn't given up a run prior. So they could use a couple more guys, but I feel decent about those three guys. And then Chasen Shreve, Joely Rodriguez, kind of okay there. So they definitely could use a couple bullpen arms, and you know, we'll see about Colin Holderman, who they called up today. He has good stuff, so there's a little hope there. So they definitely could use some help and reinforcements there, and I feel that's something that basically every contender will do around the deadline, is go to one of the struggling teams, go to the Reds, go to the Pirates, teams like that, and say, hey, you don't need your setup man anymore, that's a free agent, so send them over here and kind of boost up the pen for the stretch run.
All right, last one, a guy I know has been up and down, but I've liked what we've seen. Adonis Medina, and what kind of role would you expect or impact do you think he can have on the Mets this season?
I feel like he's more on, you know, the bottom part of the bullpen, and kind of come up when you want to bring him up or whatever. You are limited to five now in the new CBA. So gone are the days of, like, Jacob Rame getting shipped to Vegas and back to New York like 100 times in a season. You now can only do it five times. But Medina's a former top 100 prospect for the Phillies. And, you know, Mets picked him up from the Pirates when he got designated for assignment. Been struggling the last couple of years, but so far has shown really good stuff for the Mets. And, you know, I think he gives you the option of a guy that could go two or three innings, because he's a former starter converted into reliever. So get some length out of him. The stuff has actually looked pretty good in his brief appearances for the Mets. So, you know, when they call on Medina again, which I assume they will at some point, he kind of gives you another option behind a Trevor Williams that can give you multiple innings.
All right. Joe DeMeo, if you are not listening to his podcast, following him, co-host of the Mets Pod, digital series on SNY, the Mets Perspectives, all of that good stuff, you should be. Joe, really appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
You got it, Lori. Hope you enjoy all the Rangers calls tonight.
We've been having fun.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.